Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And the reason is 95% of all so-called Christianity in the world is fake. They have some truth, but it's all based on the traditions of men. And that being true, it's not a matter of whether it is true. It is true. And one of the main things concerning Christianity is Jesus Christ. Now, why did Jesus have to die? And who was he that he would die? Why couldn't it have been something else? Those are questions which very few are able to answer. And the reason is they do not really know the Word of God. And here's the clue. And I want you to think about this in relationship to your life. When people do not obey God, an automatic blindness in reading the Word of God happens. Because the key is, and original Christianity is, you love God, you keep His commandments, you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in His sacrifice and shed blood. The way that the Bible says. Now, pretty soon we're coming into the time which the world calls Easter. And everything about Easter is a lie. Christ was not crucified on a Friday. He didn't rise on a Sunday. Those go back to the ancient Babylonian rites of Tammuz, and later the one called Mithras in the Roman Empire, because Satan has many counterfeits out there.
Semiramis, Nimrod's wife, insisted that Nimrod became the sun god. She cut Nimrod's dead body into pieces and sent them to each tribe of Babylon. People regarded the place where a part of Nimrod was buried as sacred. She also claimed that Nimrod was reincarnated as her son.
The sun god Nimrod was reincarnated as my son Tammuz. He who believes and follows Tammuz follows Nimrod.
As Semiramis ruled over Babylon in place of her young son Tammuz, she maneuvered people into worshiping her. Monuments of Semiramis carrying her child Tammuz in her arms were set up all over Babylon, along with various images symbolizing the sun god. The sun worship and the mother-child worship, which was a scheme devised by Semiramis, put down roots as a religion of Babylon. Idolatry stemmed from Babylon spread to many countries after the Tower of Babel collapsed. It is because when the Babylonians were scattered over the whole world, they brought the sun worship and the mother-child worship. The sun worship and the mother-child worship were assimilated into the cultures and religions of many countries, and they came to have various forms and names. Nimrod, the sun god, was known as Mithra in Persia, Sol in Rome, Ra or Horus in Egypt, and Apollo in Greece. Semiramis and Tammuz, who were the start of the mother-child worship, was called Isis and Horus, Venus and Dionysus, Diana and Attis, and Astaroth and Tammuz, respectively. Besides these, the image of goddess, who is holding a baby in her arms, was venerated in many countries of the world. If so, was the mother-child worship the creature of an age, which was especially welcomed only in Babylon? Surprisingly, the mother-child worship of Babylon has been passed down through the thousands of years and still exists today. In Vatican of Rome, we can find the mother-child worship in its original state.
So what is it that you believe? And why do you believe it? And how do you know that what you are believing is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Now, that's important to understand, because the prophecy in Revelation 12 says that that red dragon, Satan the devil, is deceiving the whole world. And the only ones that aren't deceived are the ones who have the Spirit of God and who love God and obey God and keep His commandments. Now, those things are fundamental for you to understand. So let's ask the question, why did Jesus have to die? Well, first of all, God had a plan all worked out before there were what is called the ages of time. And God does everything with a purpose and a schedule according to His timetable. Now then, 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now then, stop and think about this. Did you answer the call of God? And how does that come? Well, we've got plenty of that on Church at Home. You can look it up. Not according to our own works, and that's also not according to the works of any other men, but according to His own purpose and grace. And God's purpose is fully expressed in why Jesus had to die, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. Now notice this next phrase, before the ages of time. And part of that was done before the ages of time was, how is God going to solve the problem a free moral agency where there can be sin and there is sin and there is a lot of sin, and what is He going to do about it? Well, we find another scripture, Revelation 13:8, which says that Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, what does that mean? That means He was destined to be slain for the sin offering of the world. How did that happen? Well, that's why we have the Bible. And that's why we have the whole Bible, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So let's go back and look at the first human sin. And please understand this. Original sin did not begin with Adam and Eve. Original sin began with Satan, the devil. And part of the things that we have to do through Christ in order to come to God the way that we need to come to God is to understand there is a devil who is the God of this world. And those who really love God and keep His commandments are the few that are called and chosen and faithful. And the New Testament tells us how to do that. And if you are not among that, why don't you take up the challenge and prove some of these things so that you can become part of the called, the chosen, and faithful? Now we find in Genesis, the first chapter, that God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." And he made them male and female after his image and after his likeness. And for anyone who wants the truth, for human beings, there are two genders. Anything beyond that is a mental aberration or insanity. And there are a lot of insane people out there in the world today, some saying that there are 100 genders.
An emotional Rockland Academy teacher addressing a packed house of parents, many furious about her decision to discuss the topic of gender identity inside her kindergarten class.
"It was never my intent to harm any students, only to support them through a difficult situation."
The teacher defended her actions to read two books she says were given to her by a transgender child going through a transition.
"The kindergartners came home very confused about whether or not you can pick your gender, whether or not they really were a boy or a girl."
Parents say besides the books, the transgender student at some point during class also changed clothes and was revealed as her true gender. And many parents say they feel betrayed and blindsided.
"My daughter went home crying, shaking, so afraid that she could turn into a boy."
Well, God made Adam first, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. And he made the Garden of Eden a beautiful place for him to live and put him there and told him to dress it and keep it. Now, keep it also means to guard it. And if he would have been guarding it, he wouldn't have allowed Satan, the serpent, to come and tempt them. After he made Adam, then he took one of his ribs and made Eve, a woman, and brought her to him, and he called her woman, and God married them. Okay, because it says, "A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Now then, after however long that God taught Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden the way that they should go, and please understand this, whenever you give free choice, there can be and will be sin. So you have to have a way to take care of the sin. And you have to also understand that some sins, like with Satan, the devil, and the angels that rebelled, are unforgivable. But for those sins that are forgivable, there has to be a way and a means for the penalty to be paid. So let's see how the first sin took place. Chapter 3, Satan came into the Garden of Eden, and he lied, because Satan, in the form of a serpent, little sidebar, isn't it interesting that every religion in the world is founded on a serpent? What does that tell you?
In India, snakes were considered a representation of eternity. Snakes appeared commonly around Vishnu, Ganesha, and Shiva. Anantashasha's coils were Vishnu's bed, and their movement the reason for earthquakes. The Hopi people held snakes as symbols of fertility. They held an annual festivity celebrating the union between snake youth and snake girl, spirits of sky and underworld. The festivity was meant to call for the rain. In Greece, snakes were considered sacred beings of wisdom, healing, and resurrection. A couple of snakes appeared as pets of Asclepius, the god of medicine, slithering around his rod. That seems to be related to the Sumerian god of healing, Ninazu, whose son Ningirsita carries a staff and a snake. In both Egypt and Greece, the Ouroboros, a snake or dragon biting its own tail, represented an infinite cycle, the end that ensures a new beginning. It was sometimes represented as having a black half and a white half, the duality also present in the yin-yang. To the Serer people, it is taboo to kill a snake because it is believed that they are the reincarnation of their own people and their saints. The Dogon people from Mali believe that their first ancestor reincarnated in a serpent called Lebe. In Chinese mythology, humans were created from clay by the woman-headed snake Nua. For Greeks, Ophion the snake laid the egg from which everything was born. The Mayan sky goddess had snakes around her ears whispering the secrets of the universe. With her being the universe, that also meant the snakes were describing the goddess herself.
That tells you they're satanic. Now, Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, the serpent, said, "Is it true?" Notice, Satan always comes and challenges your faith and belief. So if you're not well grounded in the Word of God or in the commandments of God, like Adam and Eve should have been, because before God let the serpent in there, he instructed them, he told them everything that they needed to know and what to do. Because God never exposes people to sin. In this particular case, Adam and Eve, unless they first knew the truth. From then on, truth was hard to come by because of the sin of Adam and Eve. So he said, "Is it true God has said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" An outrageous statement, when it was obviously wrong. And the woman said to the serpent, see, because when you're challenged and you know the truth, you come back with the correct answer, which is what she did. The woman said to the serpent, "We may freely eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, God has indeed said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Now that tells you they had full knowledge and understanding for what they needed to know. Then the serpent countered back, and he was bringing them something that was not true, but sounded very interesting and tempting indeed. And the serpent said to the woman, "In dying, you shall not surely die." And do you know that that has stayed with all people down to this day, and it's called the doctrine of the immortality of the soul, which is a lie. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be like God, deciding good and evil. And that's the only way they became like God. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil could not bring life. Rather, it brought death. Now then, she picked of it, she ate of it, she gave to her husband Adam, he ate of it, and the eyes of both of them were opened to evil. Now, what it was that they did after that, and how long it was, and how much time did they spend with Satan the devil, and he instructing them and going through different things. See, what he challenged them is this. If you're a free moral agent, you can choose what you want to choose. Which then sounds real good. But God says, I've given you free moral agency to choose what is right over what is wrong, to keep the right and get rid of the wrong. And the wrong is called sin. So when they finally came to God, they said, "Well, we were afraid because we were naked." And he said to them, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat of it? See, now all of this is important for the first sin. Because as we will see later, it says, as in Adam, we all die. So that's from Adam all the way down to the very last human being that's ever going to be. And the man said, now notice this, isn't this what true? What happens when something goes wrong? You don't want to take blame for it. No. So Adam said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. So God, it's your fault. You gave me this woman. Okay. Isn't that true? Doesn't that happen today? If you have children, the very first thing, something goes wrong and you start finding out, well, what happened? Well, this one did it. Or that one did it. Verse 13, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Didn't take full responsibility. Now let's see what God did, because this tells us why, and there's the first prophecy of the coming of Jesus, the Savior of mankind, to save us from our sins, is given. Verse 14, and the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all livestock, and above every animal of the field. You shall go upon your belly, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Now here is the prophecy from the very first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and carries right on down through every generation of human beings. So stop and think. Is the Bible true? Well, if it goes through all generations of human beings, doesn't that prove that it is true? And here's the prophecy. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. That's the one who became Christ. He will bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now, this is the first prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now, notice what else happened. Because with the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, that sin brought upon them a change of their nature. And that is called human nature. And in the New Testament, Paul calls it the law of sin and death. That then was brought upon Adam and Eve at that time, and inherited and passed on genetically to every single generation. That's why this sacrifice is so important. And to the woman he said, I will greatly increase your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be toward your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now stop and think about it. All you women who have children, don't you have a lot of sorrow? Not only just the pain of birth, but sorrow for all the wrong that they do all through their lives. And Adam, he said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife instead of to the voice of God, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. The ground is cursed for your sake, and sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. So both will have sorrow, men and women. That's the result of sin. And so after this then, what is the solution to the sin? And why did Jesus have to die? We'll answer that as we go on here. Then he said, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And that happens to every human being. Witnessed by every graveyard you can see, and all of those down through the centuries that have been buried under the dust of time that you know nothing about. Verse 21, and for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. Then he said this, behold, the man has become like one of us to decide good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, blank. You can't live your life forever in evil. It won't work. So from this time forward, clear down through all of the generations of 4,000 years to Jesus Christ. Death happened, didn't it? Yes. And men have been seeking to have eternal life. They've done so many different things to try and do it down through time. It's really, really, really amazing. Now then, we'll come forward into the New Testament in the next segment. But I want you to write for, or order it online, the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. Because everything in the Bible leading up to the time of Christ pointed toward Christ. And everything after the death and resurrection of Christ, it pointed out the history of why. So the whole focus of the whole Bible is Jesus Christ, beginning in Genesis 3 with the very first prophecy. Now, there are many other prophecies that we may get into in the Old Testament, and fulfillments of them in the New Testament. But we need to ask the question, why did Jesus have to die? And when we ask that question, we have to ask another question. Who was Jesus? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Till next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.